Ich bin in einer sehr merkwürdigen Position. Ich halte nämlich einen Vortrag für jemanden, der heute Abend nicht hier ist. Ein Freund, der nicht hier sein kann. Und er ist aufgrund einer physischen Fehlfunktion heute nicht in der Lage, da zu sein. Eigentlich ganz gut passen zu diesem Thema. Und ich werde seinen Vortrag eben hier vortragen. Und zwar in Deutsch, weil er spricht Deutsch. Und ich sollte über das Thema Dämon sprechen und das in seiner Stimme tun. Um das noch ein bisschen komplizierter zu machen, beginne ich mit einer Konversation, die er mit jemand anderem geführt hat. Thomas Feuerstein ist der Künstler, für den ich spreche, und er hat mit Hartmut Böhme, einem deutschen Kulturologen, gesprochen. Thomas Feuerstein nun. The demon interests me because it picks up on different threads of discourse and provides surprising changes of meaning that update him in the present. We first think of religious traditions where he stands for evil and diabolical, but there are also older Greek traditions where the demon is simply creating order and chaos and make people happy, eudaimon or kakodaimon, unhappy. Demons were responsible for all processes in psychic and life. For instance, for the fermentation of sugar to alcohol or milk to cheese. The demon acts as a medium, catalyst or enzyme, effects translation and transmutation. It is neither bad nor good. And it can be both hardware and software. It can be embedded in thoughts and ideologies or in matter and artifacts. Hartmut Böhme. One could argue that there is an abstract commonality between the different variants of meaning. Let us think of the relationship to our conscious self. When we act as acting subjects, we never know whether we are the masters of our action or whether something else exercises power over us. We often experience a lack of independence from processes that we either fail to see through because they appear mysterious and transparent and dark, or we have to recognize that we have no influence on them. The demonic is a driving, producing, creative, but also destructive force that shocks the subject's sovereignty. We suffer a loss of self when we become obsessed with something or see ourselves controlled by foreign power. Angels, devils, jinn, rakshasas, they all embody old ideas of demons that gain a new social and consumerist dimension through neuroeconomics, marketing, NLP, digital surveillance, genetic control, or biopolitics. In the demon, past, present, and future are superimposed. Systems and categories, enlightenment and myth, technologies and superstition, autonomy and foreign determination merge. Thomas Feuerstein. In this sense, demon proves to be a dirty term because it is ambiguous and mixes a magical worldview with a rational one. Since the end of the 18th century, demons are increasingly appearing in a secular context. We speak of Laplace's demon and Maxwell's demon. With them, mathematicians and physicians take center stage instead of exorcists. Eventually, demons got into computer science and AI research, so that today we get an answer from a mailer demon when an email cannot be delivered. And then we are aware that we are not alone. The demons are lying dormant everywhere. As routines in the background of the systems, they wait for servers, travel on the internet as bots of our search engines, navigate us in our car to our destination, or distribute the braking power of our car wheels. This means demons support us, but they also monitor us permanently. And questions of access and distribution are the decisive questions for us all, for politics, economists, cybernetics that can be attributed as as a distributor. And distribution questions are decisive for us all, for politics, cybernetics, and artists. When I stand in front of a white wall, I am confronted with questions of how to distribute color on a white wall. End of dialogue. At present, demons are not rumbling as a strange dark power through occult spaces. They operate as technical assistants, control machines, or update themselves as their etymological relationship to democracy suggests. Demons are routines of action, structures, rules, laws, programs, algorithms. In the cybernetic understanding, demon is a key term. The will to order is a necantropic principle. Demons work in information systems like in living cells. Without demons, everything would become an undifferentiated pulp. In the following, I will focus on two demons that shape our present understanding of life, the Laplace demon and the Maxwell's demon. The Laplace demon stands for the calculation of individuals and society. The other, Maxwell's demon, stands for the generation of new information and intelligence. In other words, for two channels in which digital culture is currently being processed, big data and artificial intelligence. Let's start with Laplace's demon. It owes its name to the French astronomer and mathematician Pierre-Simon Laplace, 1749 to 1827, and is based on the thought experiment with the aim of calculating a universal world formula to calculate all possible past and future states of the world. In 1948, Konrad Zuse publishes the first higher-level programming languages called Plancalcul. In the same year, Zuse refers to Leibniz and writes about a future mechanical brain that comes very close to the extent and fineness of the actual universe. It is 1948, and Laplace's demon is active for the first time in computer technology, or computer technology becomes active through it. Konrad Zuse, who used the pseudonym Kunosi, he used computer plates, computer boards as palettes for paintings. This picture, Adolphe Catelet, carte figurative, where statistically do you find most alcoholics and murderers? Based on Laplace's pupil Adolphe Catelet, 1796 to 1874, developed the concept of social physics. Laplace, who sought to reduce the entire world mechanism to mathematical functions in order to make all future events predictable, inspires Catelet to his figure of the l'homme moyen, the calculable average human being. When Laplace assumes that a demon would have to measure the position, velocity of all physical particles in cosmos at a given point in time in order to determine past and future conditions, Catelet's Mécanique sociale assumed that this would be done to human particles. In his Physique sociale, published in 1835, he describes the laws of social events and anticipates today's methods of big data. I quote Catelet, "Above all, we must abstract from the individual person and consider him only as a fraction of the whole genre. By stripping the person of its individuality, we eliminate all that which is only accidental. The individual peculiarities, which have little or no influence on the masses, will then disappear automatically and will allow us to arrive at general results, black boxes, points, functions, correlations." At the beginning of the 19th century, Adolphe Catelet developed the body mass index, BMI. The index makes it possible to determine the measures for the evaluation of a person's body weight. In the BMI, the idea of the average human being, l'homme moyen, is linked to the idea of normalizing bodies. Here we see figures, gypsum figures with average measures. Diagram of demonology. This is Thomas Feuerstein's attempt to work on his demon, to see where he goes, where he meanders. He tries to show the secular demons of cybernetics and computer sciences, and this expands even through art and art studies. Now, the second demon, Maxwell's demon, the thought is it is a thought experiment that separates a container into two chambers. Both halves initially contain gas of the same temperature. It was called the demon by Lord Kelman in 1874. It is endowed with abilities that can are so sharp that they can track every molecule as it moves. The demon measures the position and speed of the particle and acts as a door guard. It does justice to its etymology of the inlet and outlet by opening and closing the flap in order to allocate the fast or hot molecules of one container and attribute it to the other. Well, Laplace's daemon is focused on a deterministic view of the world to compute all possible states. Maxwell's daemon is concerned with the fight against entropy, that is to say, the life and death, as one strategy to preserve life against death. Human intelligence has been used since Darwin. The daemon of human evolution has been building on this, investing in education, working on forms of artificial intelligence, and increasingly also trying to make natural information systems such as animals, plants, and bacteria more intelligent. This is a diagram of the pandemonium model by Oliver Selfridge, 1958. It shows the daemons, the first model of artificial intelligence, and it is based on the central position of the Maxwell daemon within cybernetics. Selfridge at that time designed this model as when he was assistant to Robert Wiener at MIT. In 1963, Selfridge worked with Fernando Corbato on the multiple axis computer aided cognition project. It is focused on the development of operating systems and artificial intelligence. Based on Maxwell's daemon, Corbato calls his program Daemon. It runs on an IBM 7094, and it creates automatic backups of the file system on tapes. Daemon becomes a synonym for disk and execution monitor. Corbato's influences numerous computer scientists at MIT who work on the development of autonomous programs and artificial intelligence. In this sense, for example, bots are in the same genealogical line with daemons. Chatbots, search bots, surveillance bots can historically and functionally be seen as daemons ruling the nets. Since then, daemons processes have stood for all systems processes running in the background. They work in the depth. Even though they control and steer the majority of all network activities, we rarely encounter daemons. They will appear when they want to inform us about things that have already been decided, like, for instance, the mailer daemon that tells us that an email cannot be delivered. The more intelligent networks become, the more pandemonic they become. They manage and maintain themselves, they optimize themselves, they repair themselves, they grow and share autonomously. They have features of the living and autopoiesis. A film by Donald Cammell, 1977, is called Daemon Seed. Eileen Christie is forced by AI to have sex, and this software builds a natural body and tries to use sex in order to pass on the DNA and reincarnate itself. The demonic is not here in the metaphysical and supernatural, in the eminence of the system, electronic networks, panoptic surveillance. In Daemon Seeds, there is violence, and the film talks about the obsession to hybridize natural life. Nucleic acids and DNA create a new understanding of what is alive and what is not. Biohacking. Daemons and as parasites of the living. Whereas in the 20th century, there were legendary garage companies that built computers with the simplest means. Today, we have more and more cellars that look like laboratories. Bio and genetic engineering become DIY. This is not only expands the concept of information, it also creates hybrids of matter and biomolecule. Biohacking creates a future where we can believe we can create all substances like liquor in the cellar, like moonshine. We have a fungus, Prophiocordyceps. It programs and controls ants. It uses the ant as a means of transport. And if the fungus finds ideal conditions in the ground, it kills the ants, and after the death, from the head of the ants, the body of the fungi emerges. These are molecular daemons that reprogram hormonal organisms.